Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
And a good Saturday morning to you from St. Hubert's Cathedral, where, you know, here, except for some really breezy winds, our Gulf Coast has been enjoying a gorgeous stretch of weather. And just in time, you got lots of choices. Fishing, hunting, do I go freshwater fishing, inshore fishing, offshore, bow hunting, small game, and the duck seasons will be here soon. Don't forget, this is the weekend where you have to set the clocks back, fall back 1 hour. That takes place as we get off of daylight savings time tomorrow morning. Joining us, we've got a special co-host this morning. You have heard her before. I've been hearing, getting emails and texts from her fan club demanding her appearance, and finally she's taking some time from Kansas to come back home and visit with us for another show. Sheree, good to have you here.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be back. It's certainly nice to be back on the radio.
Hey, you got what you got going on in Kansas? Hunting season's already in up there, and y'all got the dogs all ready and getting ready to rock and roll up there, huh?
Well, the resident dogs are ready. We got a couple of new dogs up there. One foster with Point of Rescue Organization, which some of you have heard us talk about before. And then a Brittany Spaniel who's joined us. Axel is in training, and so we're going to be ready.
Well, the hunting season is just about here, and if anybody's been thinking about getting a new bird dog, Sheree can help you with that. She works with the Pointer Rescue Organization, and we'll get her to talk about that, how you can get very inexpensive, some wonderful dogs that have a lot of good potential and make some great pets, too. So stay tuned for that. We also got a busy show. The monthly commission meeting at the Wildlife and Fisheries is going to take place, and there'll be a very controversial issue brought up on the agenda regarding the menhaden fishing industry. Although the exact details have been kept secret, it appears the pogey boat operators are going to be asking for even more relaxed restrictions, despite a deal just last year. We're going to be talking with LA CCA Executive Director Rad Trasher. He'll explain the position and offers some suggestions what you can do if you agree this is not the best for the fishery resources off the Louisiana coast. 2025-26 duck season begins next weekend. It's youth-only weekend in the West Zone, and that'll be followed by the first split of the regular season a week later, and then the youths in the East Zone and veterans can take a shot then. My question for you this morning, has this frontal system that came in, and we got another one coming in again tomorrow, tonight, has it brought any new birds in? If it has and you've seen them, we want to hear about it. What species did you see and where did you see them? Also, we got a bad boy of the outdoor episode with a moral to it today, and that is if you break fish and wildlife laws, don't get stopped for traffic violations while you're doing it. And as always, if you happen to have a successful fishing or hunting trip this week, we'd love to include your report along with your comments, your questions, and we'll add it into the reports we get from our professional captains and marina operators. You can do that and contact us if you want to say hello to Cherie. You got a message, do it by texting us at 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. Looking at the Coastal Marine forecast, another beautiful day out there with a chilly start, and we're going to have some north winds. They're finally starting to lighten up offshore, north winds 8 to 15. On the interior lakes and bays, they'll be 6 to 12. Got about a 1 to 2 foot chop offshore, and for tomorrow, the winds will increase with another front coming through. Those winds will be northerly 12 to 20 knots, 2 to 4 foot seas, and on the interior lakes and bays, northerly winds 10 to 18. Not a lot of tide movement today, only a half a foot, and the Mississippi River sitting at 2.5 and steady. All right, when we come back after this, we'll get a Shell Beach and St. Bernard Parish fishing report. If you're headed down that way, you want to be tuned in for that. We got paddlers reports coming up, Mike Gallo, Ryan Lambert, and, of course, Rad Trasher, director of the Louisiana Coastal Conservation Association, and a special time slot. We're moving up. If you want a Grand Isle report, Darrell Carpenter will be joining us in about 20 minutes. We'll be back right after this pause on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And daughter number one, Cherie, is with me. Cherie, been a while since you've been saltwater fishing, huh?
It's been actually quite some time since I've been saltwater fishing.
It's not very good in Kansas, is the saltwater fishing.
No, we're lucky to find some water on some days, fresh or salt otherwise.
Well, we're going to be talking about some saltwater fishing. Let's do that first with Glenn Sanchez. He's filling in for Robbie Campbell, who's taking some time off. We get a St. Bernard Parish fishing report. Glenn, how you doing on this gorgeous Saturday morning?
Good morning, Dan. Good morning. Wonderful day.
You know, we've had this stretch of really nice weather, man, except for that blow that came through. There was a couple days where the wind was just really, really blowing. But it's kind of settled down now. And what changes do you think people are going to have to make? Because we're into a pretty much a pattern there. You know, the fish were transitioning on the inside in places like Stump and Magnolia and Lena Lagoon and the cuts off Lake Bourne and all that was producing. Is all that going to continue, you think? What changes should people look for?
It's going to get better because with that blow, most of the bait ran out of the marsh. So the shrimp left and, you know, and now when you throw your bait out there, there's less for them to look at. So now they're going to jump on your bait a lot quicker. So actually, you know, after the first couple of fronts, they all of a sudden they realize winter's coming. They got to eat everything that they see. So it's going to do nothing but get better from here on out.
Yeah, we got a little bit of a reinforcing front coming in, so the winds are going to be a little stiffer tomorrow than what they're going to be today. Today and this afternoon is going to be your day. It's going to warm up a little bit because we got a chilly start, but, man, it should be good. And I think if you arm yourself with a popping cork and either some live shrimp or some of your favorite plastics and head to some of those places you mentioned, you should be able to pick up on some nice trout.
Well, let me tell you, Don, when I say I fished for October, I fished 17 times in October this year. I killed it. And I've been catching a lot of fish on the bottom with live shrimp.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, you know. How deep of water are you fishing?
5-6 feet of water. I'll fish in some canals. Like, I mean, I'll catch them on the top, don't get me wrong. But the other day I fished with a guy and they just weren't biting on the top. So I went to the bottom and I started putting them in the boat. He goes, I never fished the bottom. And I thought to myself, I said, they're not always on the top.
Hey, I'll fish top, bottom, middle, three quarter, wherever the fish are, you got to find them.
Exactly. You know, I tell people, if you're spitting on your hook and catching a fish every cast, I'm going to start spitting on my hook or have you spit on my hook, whatever it takes.
Yeah, you got it. That's what you got to do sometimes. How about the red fishing? What would you suggest for somebody who wants some redfish or puppy drum and, you know, not necessarily looking for trout, but maybe some sheephead? What would you suggest?
Fishing dead shrimp either on the bottom or under a cork next to a point or cut and just sit there and wait for them to come through. You know, if they don't come through, move to the next cut or point or, you know, pocket. You just keep looking till you find them.
Yeah. Well, while you've been out there these 17 times, have you seen many ducks? And has there been any difference just in the last day or so?
Can you believe it? I can't even remember seeing one in 17 trips in the marsh.
Boy, that's bad.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, it is.
I'll see the Mexican whistling ducks now and then fly over, but other than ducks, nope, I haven't seen any. And, I mean, I'm out there early in the morning. I'm out there late in the evening.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, season's getting ready to open, and let's hope for the next, between now and then, we get an influx of birds. That's the one thing about ducks, you know, they got wings and they can fly, so maybe one one day and not there the next, but it doesn't sound good for that Biloxi Marsh area, you know, as much time as you spend out there, not to have seen a lot of ducks.
It's, you know, I mean, I am concentrating on fishing and not looking in the sky, but still when you're riding in the boat, you see them when they fly in, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, and I really haven't seen too many of them, so I'm glad I'm not a duck hunter anymore.
Yeah. If somebody's going to fish the big Mr. Go, what's happening in there? Can they pick up a few fish in the Mr. Go itself?
Oh, without a doubt. All the little drains that drain into the marsh on both sides, you know, on the north side, heading up toward Violet from Shell Beach, they're doing well. They did real well yesterday along that way.
Yeah. And how's the bait holding up? What's it looking like?
Plenty bait. Beautiful. It's waiting on the people to come put them in the boat.
All right. Well, the only difference is you're not behind there, the cash register with the little net scooping them in. You're out there fishing.
Yeah, and I'm going again today. I'm starting November off right.
All right. Very good. Thank you so much, Glenn, for filling in for Robbie. I hope he has a good hunt up there, and we'll catch up with you next time and him next time, too.
All right, Daniel. Have a great day, and everybody stay safe.
All right. As always, he says, stay safe. Great advice. All right. That was Captain Glenn Sanchez, a former owner of the Breton Sound Marina, fills in for Robbie Campo at Campo's Marina. And we come back right after this. We got a couple of text messages. If you want to send us one, we found some ducks coming in, Cherie. We'll talk about that. 504-260-1870. Questions, comments. What do you think about the pogey boat industry? We don't know exactly what they're going to be asking for, but it's not to tell us they want to move further offshore. You can count on that. We'll be back right after this pause. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque for Radio Network. All right, Cherie Dubuque is here with us, too. And, Cherie, we got some text messages coming in. Who are we hearing from this morning?
Yeah, so our good friend, the Backstrap Stacker, says, born in Don and Cherie, did a little trick-or-treating last night with my girls. Now headed up to beautiful Clark County for some morning work and afternoon bow hunt. So thankful for the rain and cool weather. Y'all enjoy this beautiful day.
Yeah, he's one of our faithful, loyal Alabama listeners.
Absolutely. Captain Robin, bird showed up Thursday in the Venice area. Plenty of pintail and teal with a few widgeon mixed in.
Well, that's what I would expect to be showing up in Venice, and I'm glad to hear that some places are starting to get some birds in with this weather because the season is right here. And probably next week we should be getting a midweek report from the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries on the actual bird count. They do a flyover and kind of give an estimate of what the bird count is. Last year at this time it was the worst they had ever done in all the years they had been surveying. So hopefully we'll see some improvement in that. With the hunting seasons here, people are starting to think about maybe getting a hunting dog. And, you know, you've got several German Shorthair pointers. You got a whole kennel up there in Kansas that you enjoy hunting the pheasants and quail up there. And I've been hunting quail and woodcock down here for many, many years. And, you know, a lot of people, when they find out the enjoyment of getting a dog that works with you and you train it and the thing comes to a success where it finds birds and you shoot them, it's just no better reward or relationship between a person and an animal and a hunter and their dog. And you're involved with a group called the Pointer Rescue Organization, which benefits people looking for hunting dogs and also dogs that need forever homes. Tell us how all that works.
Yeah, so Pointer Rescue Organization, we've been with this group since 2020, and we are on our 13th foster dog. And so this organization is a breed-specific rescue organization, and they take in a lot of dogs from hunting plantations. They take in strays from very strong hunting areas. And what they ask of us is to foster these dogs, get to know the dogs very well, and then find appropriate homes. And so there's a small handful of us who look to bring in fosters that have had some sort of hunting experience or appear to be hunter interested. Now, the little dog I have now, she's a dropout from hunting training, and her owner wanted her euthanized, and her trainer actually brought her into the shelter. And I think she's going to do just fine as a hunting companion. And so there are quite a few of us within the rescue that hunt our own dogs and then train and trial these dogs. But there are also dogs that go to pet homes. And so a lot of opportunity. The breed is a working breed, is a great companion and family dog just by the nature of their genetics. And so there are lots of dogs. And then, as you know, there are plenty of ways besides fostering that you can actually help, including supplies. The group always needs supplies for the dogs. Transport is a really big one in the Gulf Coast South.
Yeah, I call it the pointer relay race.
Yes. And so, yeah, that's a very interesting phenomenon to work with those dogs. But you can find them on Facebook at Pointer Rescue, Organization, just to get a sense for what the group does nationwide. I have dogs on the East Coast, the West Coast, and everywhere in between that we have fostered and have been adopted.
And husband Blake does some training on those dogs. And look, when he sends them out, tell some of the stories about what happens to these dogs. There's dogs now that had come through as fosters, gave them a new second chance at life, and they've become great hunting dogs.
Yeah, we have one dog that was a very long time, over a year and a half in a shelter. His name is Wyatt. And we brought him home. And, you know, one of the things, first pointer ever at this small shelter in Texas, and reports for people who had adopted him. He was adopted three times and brought back. You know, talked about a dog that had a ton of energy. Well, what the heck,
child.
Pointer, exactly, does not have a ton of energy.
Right, that's what you want.
Spent some time training several months with Wyatt, and he happily now lives on the East Coast in the New England area, and he's a full-time family dog and a part-time hunting dog. Mm-hmm. One of the most beautiful points I've ever seen on a pointer. Of course, you know Jeb, and
well,
got to spend a lot of time with Jeb.
Hunted with Jeb.
24 hours to be put to death. We brought him over, came from Tennessee, and Jeb got a PAL, which is an AKC pure breeding alternative listing, which allows you to trial these dogs or participate in other AKC events. And Jeb was a junior hunter and worked up some interest. And I will tell you, in a couple of weeks, Jeb and his family, Jeff, will be out hunting birds, no doubt about it.
Love to hear those stories. So no matter where you live, and the good thing is these dogs get delivered to you, and they may come from all across the country. Give them that website again to check in if they want to either help or if they want to just foster or actually adopt a dog and become a dog owner.
Yeah, so on Facebook, they are Pointer Rescue, Organization. And then you can find them on the web at pointerrescue.org.
Easy enough to find. All right, we got some text messages coming in. We'll get back to those. We also got a fishing report with Captain Darrell Carpenter coming your way. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, Cherie, we got at least one of your fan club members checking in with us here on a text message.
Absolutely. Good morning, Don, and welcome back, Cherie. It's finally starting to feel like melatonin season. I'm seeing bloom, so hope I'll be picking some by Thanksgiving. David Hubble.
Yeah, I got to check my melatonin. Boy, they're beautiful, and I had some bloom, so it won't be long. We'll be having some of that stuffed melatonin for Thanksgiving.
That sounds good to me. Is Fishing Freak 504 here, Don, going to fish Seabrook and try to catch some oil? That's beautiful hammer specs.
Yeah, that Seabrook can produce some really nice fish. Let me know how you do, Fishing Freak, if you catch some of those big hammers.
All right. A cool All Souls Day morning to y'all. I read in some posh newspaper that trick-or-treaters favor potatoes over candy for trick-or-treats.
Well, not in Ohio. Couldn't give out even one. Has this trend hit on? I'd hate to see someone sitting out with a bag of potatoes trying to give that to trick-or-treating kids. Huh? What do you think the comments would be?
Yeah. I'm thinking that's going to be a disappointing trick-or-treat.
I don't think that's going to be a popular trend. All right, we got another one coming in here.
Good morning, Mr. Don. Could you give us an update on the red snapper quota? Love hearing Captain Glut on the radio. Reminds me of the good old days back the Thursday show. Laugh out loud, JoJo Vitale.
Yeah, JoJo, good to hear from you. Yeah, the old Thursday show, many, many moons ago, I did a show on a Thursday night, a fishing show, and it followed Manning and Son. It was Archie Manning and his son Cooper, long before the Peyton and Eli show came about. We used to follow them and do a fishing report on Thursday nights. That's several moons ago. All right, we also got the Wing Bone in Wilmer, Alabama. He's what he usually does on Saturday morning. He's making those turkey calls out of Wing Bones.
Yes, which are beautiful.
Yes, they are. All right, we got a quick pause to take, a 10-second station ID. When we come back, Captain Darryl Carpenter joins us to talk about fishing along Grand Isle. We're back with that right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Getting back to JoJo's question about an update on his red snapper quota, we were at 97%, and we had that blow came up, so the Gulf was probably unfishable. But after this weekend, I think that's probably going to be it, and I'm expecting any day to get the notice to put the word out that the red snapper will be closed until next season. Let's bring in Captain Darryl Carpenter, and he can attest to the fact that offshore Grand Isle was unfishable this week with those winds. Has all that stuff blown through, Darryl? We got a little bit nicer conditions finally?
Yeah, Don, it has. And, you know, I had to run into town, of course, but when I left there yesterday, it was water was starting to clean up a little bit. Now, some of the boats that fished yesterday morning was reporting once you get up in that marsh, the water was a little bit dirty. But, man, the water's been remarkably clean, remarkably clear. Fish have been active as heck. And, you know, hopefully we'll get – well, we got another one coming, tonight or tomorrow –
yep.
But hopefully we'll get a stretch of 2 or 3 days where it cleans up again. Because I can tell you, man, we finished up the week in Grand Isle. They, you know, the speckled trout are still hard. They're hard to locate any massive numbers of. You know, we're just hoping for a calm winter and, you know, a bump in the stock come next spring. But, man, the redfish are really starting to show out. And they're moving south. They've been pinned up way up north all year long. And they're starting to move south. And, man, I was really impressed with the number of redfish I saw and caught here in the last few days. And they're just all over the marsh and active. And, man, they're all fat. I mean, beautiful fat fish. And, I mean, belly's just, I mean, it's rodeo season right now for Grand Isle. I mean, for a redfish, because all the fish we caught could have been easy leaders on rodeo boards. I mean, nice fish in that upper 20 range and just fat as could be. But, you know, they're hungry. They're feeding on a lot. What we found is they're feeding on a lot of fish. We found one flat in particular we eased up on in the marsh. We stopped to eat lunch, and I think we counted 8 redfish on one flat that was busted on mullets. So they're going to make a good showing for this fall, and it's time to go get after them. It's time to change gears and stop looking for the dots and start looking for the spots.
Yeah, you know, those fish at this time of year, always with October and Halloween and the pumpkins, they have that pumpkin look to them. You know, they got that beautiful reddish or orange color because the water's clear and cooler, and they don't have that kind of wash.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Stout look to them. Just beautiful fish.
Yeah. And you know, redfish being chameleons like they are, I think a lot of it is how clean our water gets this time of the year, because I find the cleaner the water you're in, the redder, the oranger they are. It's when you've got to go to those deep water holes where they don't get as much light transmission and the water gets a little dirtier, that, you know, that's when you start getting those that look like they're bleached out or whatever. And I can tell you, Don, the sheephead is starting to show up too. I mean, it's been a little bit warm. I would say it's a little bit early, but I don't think it is. It's just been a little bit warm. But the sheephead are really starting to stock up, and I'm getting a lot of reports from people fishing these oyster cages have been around long enough that they're really starting to produce some growth on them now. So anywhere there's an oyster cage, I'm getting words that the fish are even getting acclimated to people there. It's like literally like shooting fish in a barrel, sheephead, black drum all around these oyster cages. Now they're producing enough trash to really attract the fish. So, you know, this is the time of the year we like to use minnows because they're so tough and so easy to keep alive. But it's the time of the year you might want to think about bringing a quart or two of shrimp with you, too, for those sheephead and those black drum.
Yeah, and fish that new structure that's being created out there, oyster cages. Who knew? An added benefit to them. Darryl, if somebody wants to grab a jacket because it's chilly and come down there and book a trip with you in the next few weeks, tell them how to get you.
Well, Don, they can find me on your site at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Got realscreamers.com. That'll answer most of their questions if they have any. Or if you got any questions, just pick up the phone at 225-937-6288. And Don, one thing, if you got anybody going this weekend, I caught a little bit of a news blip that we had a well blowout up in the marsh north of Grand Island. Some of those waterways are closed. I don't know exactly where it is yet, but I think it's up around that posted property, up around that Castex property.
All right. Well, good information, and people need to check that out if they had any plans to head over that way and avoid that. Thanks for the tip, Darryl. As always, we appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, Don. Y'all have a good day. Oh, and hey, Cherie.
Hey. Always good to hear from you, Darryl.
Y'all have a good day.
You too. There he goes, Captain Darryl Carpenter, realscreamers.com. All right, coming back after this, we're going to have a little bit of a discussion about this issue that's on the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission agenda. It's item number 8, a notice of intent to modify the commercial menhaden reduction fishery buffers along certain portions of the Louisiana coast. And that's a long way to describe the pogey boats want to move in and catch more of our fish. We'll be talking to Rad Trasher, director of the Louisiana Coastal Conservation Association, and your comments and thoughts about it at 504-260-1870 here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And along with Cherie Dubuque, my daughter's here co-hosting again with us. And Cherie, you've heard a little bit about the menhaden industry, huh? What was that quote you found about it?
Yeah, so in 2022, it said, when other states are tightening things up, Louisiana continues to be the wild, wild west of pogey fishing.
That was kind of a good description. Well, for people not familiar with a little background here, the menhaden fishery consists of some out-of-state and even out-of-country-owned commercial fishing operations. They use spotter planes, motherships with attached skiffs that use purse seine nets to encircle massive schools of pogies, and in that process catch a huge quantity and a wide variety of other valuable species called bycatch. Some of those are live released, but huge numbers are also killed in the process. As expected, there's some enormous opposition. It's been there and it's growing to the industry because they operate in near shore coastal waters, Florida, Alabama, total bans, don't allow it in their state waters. Mississippi bans it for 1 mile from its coast to include from its outer islands. Texas bans it from a half mile on most of its coast, a full mile from any of its jetties or passes, and has a total catch limit of 1.5 million pounds, while Louisiana waters has no limits. Louisiana reached a compromise deal last year to ban it from a half mile from the coast, except 1 mile from Holly Beach, 3 miles from Grand Isle, no limit on the total catch. Now, that sounds like a sweetheart deal from Louisiana. Well, the industry's not happy. They're going to be asking for more. I don't think they're going to be asking for less at the Thursday Wildlife and Fisheries Commission meeting going to be held this week in Baton Rouge. My question is, do you think they should be allowed to operate even closer, or will breaking that deal cause enough public outrage to restrict them even further, or even Louisiana to consider banning it totally in their waters like other coastal states? Your thoughts are welcome on our text line, 504-260-1870. We're joined now by Louisiana Coastal Conservation Association Executive Director Brad Trasher for their take on the issue. Good morning, Brad. Thanks for talking about this very, very important issue with us.
Look, you know, even if I have to wake up at 5:30 in the morning after Halloween, I am willing to do it on this topic because, look, people need to understand what is going on, what the industry is asking for, and how ridiculous it is that our state is even considering doing it.
Well, do we know what they're asking? This has been kind of secretive. Normally, this is all done in open transparency to the public, and we would know going in what they're going to ask, but nothing's been divulged unless it's leaked out. Do you know anything?
Well, so it is an interesting scenario how this has played out, and unorthodox yet not untypical. And, you know, this is the way this has been handled has – actually, when the chairman gives a directive to the staff to do something like this, usually it's on a nothing issue. Like, hey, we got to change this, and everybody's in agreement, and, you know, we're going to give you all the power, just put the paperwork together, right? And so they did that, which obviously on this issue is incredibly tough. And so the department first initial reaction was to put everybody in a room to negotiate it. And, you know, we looked at it and I was like, look, there's nothing to negotiate. If they want something, tell us what it is. And, you know, we'll see what it is. And chances are we're going to tell you we don't like it. And they did. And that was when we came out swinging and said they're asking for a 30% reduction in the restricted areas. And that's just flat unacceptable. There is no way that a single one of our members was going to say that's a good idea. And so we kind of threw it back at the department and said, yeah, that's not going to work. And the department has since then has been working with the industry to try to come up with something a little bit more palatable. And I want all your listeners to know this was a directive from one commissioner, frankly, that was driven by one business owner, and that's it. The staff of the department didn't see it coming, and frankly had been told that they wanted to try it months ago, and they told them this was crazy. And so now the staff is holding the bag trying to figure it out. And no, we haven't seen the actual NOI. We will not see it, according to the staff, until next Thursday. And frankly, the crazy part about it is next Thursday we'll see it for the first time, and then they are going to vote on it that day. And it's going to be hard to unwind.
Brad, we're going to take a break. We come back, I want you to name who that commissioner was that brought it up, and because I think people need to know that. And also, ultimately, who has jurisdiction over setting this? Will it be brought to the commission and a ruling made and end there? Will it go to the legislature? And what impact or influence does the governor, Governor Landry, have over this? He seems to be getting involved in a lot of different issues in the state. This is certainly one we would hope he would get involved in. We're talking with Brad Trasher, Director of Louisiana Coastal Conservation Conservation Association. If you got a question or comment on the Menhaden industry proposal, even though we don't know exactly what it is, you can text us at 504-260-1870. We're back right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, back with us is Rad Trasher, Executive Director of Louisiana Coastal Conservation Association, talking about an item that's going to be coming up on this Thursday's Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries Commission meeting in Baton Rouge. The commercial menhaden industry will be asking for reductions in its fishery buffer, even though other states along the Gulf Coast have either banned it or have much tighter restrictions. They're coming to Louisiana asking for even permission to fish closer into Louisiana waters, causing a number of problems, in fact, increasing the variety and the number of bycatch, plus doing extensive damage to coastal restoration projects when they get in too close to where some of these projects have been put in. Rad, before we took the break, you mentioned that this is being done at the request of one of the commissioners who was contacted, obviously, by the industry. Who is that commissioner that brought this forward that wants to pursue it?
Chairman Kevin Segura.
All right. And, you know, it's a shame that these commissioners are not held accountable to the public. They are appointed at the pleasure of the governor. So it has to go through the governor as far as anyone who wants to express displeasure with commissioners' work that they're doing there. Ultimately, who has jurisdiction over setting these regulations? Is it the commission itself? Is it the legislature? Is it the governor? Is it a combination of all three?
It's a combination. I mean, obviously, wildlife, the commission has the ability to change these regulations. Frankly, though, they do have oversight in the legislature. So if the legislature decides whether they like the NOI or don't like the NOI based on public comment, they can kick it back, reverse it. They can tweak it a little bit, and it'll ultimately come back to Wildlife and Fisheries. And then, frankly, the governor will have the ability to accept oversight or not accept oversight. And so it's a combination of all three. And frankly, I don't think this issue will die without all three touching it. And my guess is, you know, we're going to be in the legislature in the spring regardless, trying to either, you know, either we're going to be trying to change things or the industry is going to be trying a different tack. So it's not going away.
Well, the first step is going to be finding out exactly what they're asking, whether this is going to be, you know, in all areas, move it, the zone in closer to the coast, or lift some of the restrictions for the Grand Isle or Holly Beach areas. You know, sometimes, as the saying goes, the best offense is a good defense. Maybe there should be some proposals to further restrict them from what they have, or actually bring about a total ban, and maybe try to use that to combat what they're trying to do as far as moving it forward in and taking more fish and maybe even assigning a total catch. I think that's a great idea, that once they catch a certain number, shut it down after that. Then that kind of ensures that the species will be there to proliferate and continue to produce, and it will also reduce the bycatch. I guess they're going to be using some of the results of that study as evidence of why they should be allowed to fish closer in, you think?
Oh, they're going to, but frankly, you know, the devil's in the details, Don. The bycatch, frankly, probably saved them because the bycatch study was done with the buffers in place. And the bycatch study says specifically the bycatch of game fish goes up as you get into shallower water, closer to shore. And so they have spun it as it exonerates them. And frankly, it does the opposite.
Right.
The devil is in the details. And look, this proposal, I think, you know, by the time the department tweaks it, because they want the less amount of fights they can come up with, I think you're going to go, oh, well, maybe that's not so bad. The kicker is their initial request was to reduce their restrictions by 30%. And now my guess is they're going to give back some things that aren't important to them or are too shallow for them to fish and so on. And so we got to put a stop to it.
All right. What are you suggesting people do who, if they are in agreement with you and think that this should be either stopped or at least held where it is now?
I know it's tough, but get to Baton Rouge on November 6th in Baton Rouge at 9:30 in the morning. It is one of the first major agenda items. Come show up, voice your concerns. If not, if for some odd reason you can't do that, then make sure as soon as that NOI is passed that you start sending in your comments and hope that we can get it changed after the fact.
You can also Zoom that commission meeting, and I think they're going to try to take some comments over online, but I doubt if they'll have time. I think it's going to be a packed house, 9:30, Thursday, November 6, 2000 Quail Drive. I know you'll be there, Rad. Keep up the good work and keep us posted, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
All right, that's Rad Trasher, director of the Coastal Conservation Association. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back. We've got more fishing reports for you on the outdoors. And welcome into November in the time of the year where we got lots going on, including some really gorgeous weather forecast today. My daughter Cherie's in the co-host, and want to thank Rad Trasher from Louisiana CCA for joining us early to talk about the upcoming meeting at the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission with regard to the pogey boat industry. And Cherie, let's get to some of our text messages. We got to catch up on them here.
Yeah, we have quite a few. Good morning, Mr. Don and daughter. The Worm here, one of my favorite shows. Funny, the flounder know how to show up when the season is
that
closed.
They do.
I'm late to listening in, but I have you talked about the red snapper season yet and how much longer it will be open?
Okay, for the late riser, it was at 97% last time, 3% to go. We had some bad weather to keep people from offshore, but now that it's good, I'm expecting it to wrap up either this weekend or sometime during the week, and they will put the word out on the closure as soon as it happens.
Yep, and Fish and Rodeo and Man Shack, 20-plus boats, all under the 55 at the launch.
Yeah, there probably is some type of a bass tournament going on there if there's that many boats there.
So lots of comments about the pogey fishing segment. Need to move them out more instead of closer. Louisiana is the only state that has been catering to their needs. Continue to monitor them even closer. I think if the Louisiana legislature and the governor don't want to get involved, it's time to call Donald Trump. He'll take care of it.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, it would be interesting to know who the principals are that are funding and profiting from the Manhagan pogey industry here in New Orleans and who they are supporting in the state government. Thank you and bye.
Well, the two companies' name is Omega. I think it's Omega Protein and Daybrook Industry. Neither are located in New Orleans. They're both out of state, out of Mississippi, although they do have some employees that are Louisiana people that work for them.
Don, maybe someone could get Governor Landry pissed off at the industry in a similar manner that he wants to change college football. Just maybe he could get involved. That's from the Lafayette Yacker.
He is doing that, getting involved in some strange things for a governor.
And hey, Don, Brian from Denham Springs, what are the fishing reports in Delacroix right now?
Well, the ones I've been getting, it's good. It's a mixed catch. You can catch reds and bass are the two main species. And with this weather and cooler temperatures, I think some of the specks will start moving inside too. So don't write Delacroix off. That's a good spot.
All right, the Louisiana River Chicken here. I'm enjoying your show from Utah before I start hunting mule deer with the muzzleloader. The rut is starting to turn on here, so it should be a great hunt. On the local fishing front, I heard the World Series trout are showing up in Lake Pontchartrain and plan to chase them next week. Well, good luck and be kind to your fellow outdoorsmen today. Thanks for all you do.
Well, lucky you hunting mule deer up in Utah, but as far as the World Series trout in Lake Pontchartrain, I don't think they were accessible this week with all those winds, but I'll check with Captain Mike Gallo. He's coming up in just a minute or two, and we'll find out if there has been any reports of those big trout that typically move into the Pontchartrain bridges.
A couple more comments. I think the money needs to be followed. Someone with some pull would seem to be on the take. And then, pardon me, by catch be damned, the devil is in the pocketbook. Someone wants a payoff.
Well, people are always going to be suspicious. And certainly, I would think if you check the campaign funds of a lot of the legislators that voted in support of continuing the pogey industry, you'll find a connection there. You know, I'm all for industries, and sometimes you got to compromise, and sometimes you got to share resources with commercial and recreational. But in this case, as far as what Louisiana has been doing compared to the neighboring states, I think they've got a great deal, and I think they're going to kill the golden goose if they keep pushing for more and more. People will draw a line in the sand, and they will light up the Baton Rouge with the pitchforks and the torches. They'll be storming the Capitol when the legislative session comes in, and hopefully it'll end peacefully. All right, we come back after this. The guy we call Born on the Bayou, Captain Mike Gallo. We'll talk about World Series trout. We'll talk about Biloxi Marsh redfish and maybe some of the interior reaches where the water's cooling and the temperatures are dropping and the speckled trout are moving in. Captain Mike Gallo joins us right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Born on the Bayou report is brought to you by CETO. Now, you know, we tell you about CETO during the summer months, and if you happen to get stranded out there in the marsh, the heat can get to you, the mosquitoes, the gnats. It can be miserable waiting for someone to come get you, if ever. But when it gets wintertime, like we're seeing now, and you happen to get stranded, it could be a matter of life and death by the time rescue could get to you. And you don't have to worry about that. There's always peace of mind if you have a CETO policy, and I always suggest you should get one. Everyone should get one, no matter what size or type boat you run or where you go. You can always get fuel dropped off, tow-ins 24/7, jump starts for electrical problems, whatever it takes to get you back in. All you do is call Captain Chris. One phone call away, 504-301-4545, or you can go to CETO.com. And don't forget, this makes an excellent Christmas gift for the boater on your list. I know we've got a lot of the ladies who may not be going out with their husbands or their boyfriends, and they worry about them when they're out there. If you're one of those people, consider getting them a CETO policy. You can buy it for them, and you won't have to worry. They call one time to CETO, and they're on the way. 504-301-4545 or CETO.com. Cherie, would you consider that a World Series trout, that picture that Mike Gallo just sent of that trout? That is a beautiful trout, huh?
I do think that's a beautiful trout, and I have to say, at first glance, that gentleman looked a lot like somebody I know.
I thought he kind of looked like me, but then I said, no, there's no two people in the world could be that handsome, so that clears up that. Let's get Mike Gallo in here to tell us about that big trout. Mike, where'd that big trout come from, and who was that lucky fisherman? Was that one of your Texas guys?
Well, Don, that's actually downstream of the Texas guys. His name is Jimmy, and he is a guide on Texoma Lake.
And they he didn't catch that on Texoma Lake.
Nope, that didn't come from Texoma, and it didn't come from the bridges either. It came from the ICW.
Wow, nice fish, beautiful fish.
Yeah, it is a beautiful fish. It's the biggest one we've caught so far this fall. That fish was caught Thursday towards the afternoon. We waited for that wind to slow down some. We still fished in some pretty brisk wind, but the ICW offers some protection, so it wasn't too bad.
All right, ICW is the Intercoastal Waterway, and Mike, if people are going to fish that, now that they're hearing about this big trout and would like to try to catch him, what was the method you guys used?
We fished an inline drop shot. Excuse me, that fish was caught on a matrix purple Patagonia, and it mimics a pogey pretty well.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, well, that's hopefully the proof is in the pudding, and people get out there and catch the nice specs. What other places can you suggest now that we've had a change in the weather? No doubt the fronts are coming through. Usually we get them every 3 to 5 days. We got a little bit of a reinforcing front coming in today. What tactics do people change? We had kind of gotten into a routine there. As we had some pretty stable weather for several weeks, but now it's changing a little bit. What changes are you going to make in your operations to try to find more fish and catch them?
Well, for me, immediately following a front, I always start off in deep water. And if that's productive, then I don't need to move anywhere. But if it's not, I slowly work my way to shallower water. That trout you saw in the picture and 28 others were all caught in deep water on Thursday. Yesterday, with the calm conditions, we wanted to target redfish. We made our way to the Biloxi Marsh, and we caught redfish holding very tight to the grass using spoons. But I did see lots of dirty water in the Biloxi Marsh. And while those guys were throwing up close to the shoreline, I had a popping cork and a matrix, and I was throwing away from the shoreline to see if there were any trout. I caught 2 trout all day, and both were undersized. So today, I'm going to be back in the Mistigo ICW area fishing deep water. I'm going to have a mix of some Wrigley's live shrimp, some Berkeley gulp, and some matrix plastics. And we'll sort of read our keys. We'll see what's productive. We'll try to be where there's current movement. And if we catch 1 or 2, we'll sort of put a pattern together and stay in areas that are similar.
Very good. For suggestions for people that are going to be fishing maybe tomorrow, we got this little bit of a reinforcing front coming in. What would you suggest? Are you planning on changing your plans tomorrow, or are you going to do that, make that decision based on what you do today?
I'll probably make that decision based on what I do today, but I would say, going from experience, I'll probably be back in deeper water. You know, day of the front, they're probably going to go into deep water, depending on how severe this front is.
What about, you know, when you talk about deep water, some nice deep water in some of those canals on the North Shore there, which is a pretty short run for you. Would that be a good option for somebody to try too?
Excuse me. I haven't fished any of those yet, and I mostly think about those canals when the water temperatures are in the high 50s, low 60s. I haven't seen the water temperature as of yet today. It was about 62 yesterday morning and got up to about 67. It's been chilly all night, so they could be starting to filter into those canals. I just personally haven't been into them yet. I'm sitting in the parking lot at Wrigley's Marina about to pick up my bait, and I see lots of kayakers. And those guys generally don't go too far. They'd probably be in Gohegan's Canal and some of those man-made canal systems. So I'll try to speak with one of them before I jump in my truck, and maybe that helps me for tomorrow.
There you
unfortunately, it doesn't help you today.
Yeah, well, I see that the lake temperature is at 72, so it's not quite getting down there that cool, but I'm sure some of the areas it's going to be a little lower than that.
Yeah, the shallower the water will cool off quicker, and the deeper water will cool off later. But that'll be my pattern going forward today. It is also the time of year where I pretty much switch over to fishing lots of fluorocarbon.
Mm-hmm.
I find that matters in the cold water, especially when it's really, really clean water.
Yep, fish don't see it nearly as well. Well, good luck to you, Mike, and thanks for the report. I hope you catch some more of those big trout in the Intercoastal Waterway. And just remember now, each person, it's only 2 over 20 inches.
That's correct. Fortunately, that's the only one we had, and he was over 20. Just shy of 23.
Ah, beautiful fish. Congratulations to Jimmy on that. All right, we have Mike, thank you, my friend. We appreciate it. Have a good weekend, and we'll check in with you next Saturday morning.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you then.
There he goes, Captain Mike Gallo. You can reach him at AAofLA.com. Of course, he's on my website, too. And if you want to give him a call, it's 781-7811. Area code is 985. All right, we come back after this. We got a paddler's report coming up for you. Find out what the guys in the kayaks are doing right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And when we hear the stroking theme, that's time for a fishing report for our paddling crew. We've got Brendan Bayard joining us now. His report is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. You're going to find him at 1926 Airline Drive. Had a nice little event going on there last week. Each and every week, they've always got the store open. Opens up at 10 a.m., and you can find some of the sharpest-looking fishing gear and apparel, paddle sports equipments, kayaks, and don't forget to ask Justin about their fly tying and fly fishing classes. Each and every week, you can find out more information that you need to know about No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. Brendan Bayard joins us now. And, Brendan, you would think that wind is the bane of paddlers, but you found it, a way to put it to good use, and sometimes it can be an advantage. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I've been doing really nice on the windy days with these north wind fronts coming through. I've been fishing down Highway 23 and that levee that runs along the side of the river right there is a great way to protect your fishing spots during those days. And like, you know, Burris all the way to Yellow Cotton all the way up and to Happy Jack and all those spots. That levee offers great protection from this time of year's fronts. And so I've been doing really well over there. The days that are calm, I haven't been catching as much fish, but on those days that are windy, for whatever reason, it's just that wind's pushing the tide out and the shrimp are coming with it, and you have the birds active and hitting all the drains, and it's really been great, reds and trout.
So you're kind of setting up on an ambush where you may be finding a narrow choke point, a point where the water's falling out, and just kind of get up against the grass there and throw into the where the water's pouring out and the bait's rolling out of there.
Yeah, yeah, it's been really productive. The water quality's been good. So as long as the water quality's been good, the wind helps the situation. And I invite anybody who wants to go catch a lot of fish right now to go give Highway 23 a shot. You know, Port Sulphur's really been on fire. You know, Burris is certainly good. And then, you know, all the way down to Yellow Cotton and those other areas, it's really one of my favorites this time of year.
Well, you know, I want to wish good luck to those fishermen in the Lafayette Fishing Club that are having their Turkey Throwdown tournament that's going on today out of Sycamore Point. It's for five biggest trout, a stringer of trout. What can you tell them about fishing Sycamore Point? That's an area that we don't talk about a lot.
Yeah, that whole stretch when you come out of Quintana Canal is pretty good. There's a little cove right there that is pretty good. A lot of the kayakers tuck into there and fish pretty good. It's not as great with a north wind, and then a lot of the guys will go up to Shark Bayou north of the park and fish up in there. That's a good area. And then a lot of people do a lot of trolling out there because the fish kind of spread out sometimes and you got to locate them. And once you locate them, then you can stop and fish the school and then repeat the process until you catch all your trout for the day.
You know, one of the key things out there at Sycamore Point is salinity levels. You know, when that river's up high and pouring out, you know, fresh water, it kind of pushes them out. But right now it should be prime time for their trout, and hopefully they can come in with some nice stringers. Speaking of tournaments, Fallen Tide's going to be the next one on the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club agenda. Tell us how that works and where people can get signed up.
Yeah, we have the tournament down on in Burris on the 6th of December. We had to push it back because of the flounder regulations. You're not allowed to keep the flounder from October 15th until the end of November. So it's a slam tournament. They didn't want to make it a CPR event, so we pushed it into December. We'll see how it goes. We haven't done this before. I'm not sure if there's going to be a ton of flounder around still, but you never know. The redfish and trout fishing should be absolutely amazing that time of year. It's one of my favorite times of year to fish. The trout should be really big by then. But that'll be, you know, that whole 23 stretch from Myrtle Grove all the way down to Venice and everywhere in between. And that'll be a great time to come out, and we'll have lots of food being cooked and captain's bags and the whole shebang. So if you want to come out and meet a bunch of people kayak fishing, Fallen Tide is a great event to do it.
Yep, it's at the Great Delta Marina, which is becoming a very popular launch-off spot for a lot of the paddling tournaments. Give us the website for Bayou Coast if somebody wants to join the club or fish in the event.
It's bckfc.org, and we also have a couple of Facebook groups. And, you know, the activity, what's most current is probably on the Facebook group, but all the sign-ups for everything are on the website.
All right, get out and fish, and it can be a trick or a treat, huh?
Oh, yeah. I think right now we're in the treat part of the year.
I agree. Thanks, Brendan, so much. We appreciate it. We'll catch up with you next trip.
All right. Take care.
Bye. There he goes, Brendan Bayard, one of our field reporters, and we'll be talking to one of our different field. We've got about four guys that rotate, and we love hearing from each and every one of them. All right, what you love to hear each and every week is a bad boy in the outdoors. This one's got a moral to this story, and that is if you break fish and game laws, don't get stopped for traffic violations. It can lead to other things, as you'll find out right after this pause on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And along with me is daughter Cherie, kind enough to co-host a show this morning, as she does when she's in and around town, or I'm up at her place in Kansas either way, and that'll be coming up next month. Cherie, you know, I do Bayou Wild TV, and I do social media videos and things like that, and that's great. But, you know, the thing I really love about doing radio is it's called the theater of the mind, and the listener is using their mind, and they create what we're talking about. They create the images in a way that is actually better than what you could actually show sometimes. And we got one of these this morning that we need to describe this the video portion, because they're only going to hear the audio. But what we're looking at is a short Oriental man holding a bunch of squirrels across his chest. And it looks like that's an old, maybe a bolt-action shotgun, I think it's a bolt-action shotgun. And on one side, there's a game warden, kind of a thin black guy with the green jacket. And who's that on the left of him there?
Yeah, so there's a lady, also game warden, who's there talking to him as well. And those squirrels that he has, he's taken those squirrels. They're not live squirrels.
No, they're dead. They're hung there. And she has got red hair braided. She's got the green jacket and the green jeans, as they call them. And we're going to let you now here, now that you've got the picture in your mind of what you're not seeing, here's what you're going to hear.
You're 8 squirrels over the limit, sir. That's a citation.
I know. I'm sorry. Please, I tell you two reasons. My wife, she said no hunting tomorrow, so today I try to get double cover for tomorrow and not think about rule.
And we still have to...
You think the judge will buy that? That his wife told him, you can't go tomorrow, so he said, well, I'll get tomorrow's limit today. I have to get him.
Yeah, I don't think the judge is going to buy that, but I can certainly imagine that on many fronts, husbands have used that sort of logic before.
Maybe what I'll do one day is get some game wardens to come on here and talk about some of these kind of stories and excuses that people come up with. But that's a good one. My wife wouldn't let me go tomorrow, so I figured I'd double up on them today. Ain't going to work. All right, we also got another bad boy story. This is a real one here in Louisiana, and it's coming up next. But first, we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves along The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. This past Wednesday, a St. Landry Parish Sheriff's deputy made a traffic stop on a pickup truck with passengers Christian Harvey and Alex Lejeune aboard. In the bed of that truck was a freshly killed spotted fawn that the officer noticed and provided a description of the vehicle and identity of Harvey as the driver. Agents Michael Gaspard, Corporal Nelson Kennerson, and Corporal Luke Langley responded to the area, and they located the vehicle at a nearby hunting camp where they found the suspects in possession of a freshly killed deer. Now, during the time between the traffic stop and the agent's arrival, they learned that Harvey, with the assistance of Lejeune, cleaned the spotted fawn, buried the hide in an attempt to conceal the evidence. After they found and recovered the buried fresh hide, they confiscated the deer and donated it to charity. Now charged with intentional concealment of wildlife and taking a spotted fawn and facing criminal fines of up to $1,700 plus another $400 civil restitution payback and up to 120 days in jail, our alleged fawn killers, 22-year-old Christian Harvey of Madisonville and 21-year-old Alex Lejeune of Opelousas, Louisiana, are bad boys of the outdoors. You know, Cherie, taking deer illegally or the game is bad, but when they kill a spotted fawn, do you know what that does for the image of hunters when people hear or see that? You know, a spotted fawn, two grown men shooting the thing and bringing it back.
Yeah, sometimes I don't think that hunters appreciate that they represent hunters and fishermen all across walks of life. And again, it's a bad reputation as difficult for us to overcome any sort of justification for that.
Well, you know, people have a hard time understanding how people who are animal lovers, and you're certainly one, and I have too, that you can actually take the life of an animal. But then when you explain to them that it's actually conservation and you're only taking the excess and they set the seasons and the limits and the regulations to ensure that the species will survive and propagate. And then when somebody sees them with a dead spotted fawn, they ain't buying that. That tears down that image of the hunter. So these guys hope they get the max from the judge. I know they're not going to put them in jail for 120 days, but the fines might help, and I would even suspend their hunting licenses on something like that. But the moral of the story is, if you're going to do that, don't break the law, probably speeding or some other traffic violation.
Well, they were in a bad situation. Karma was coming for them in the base case.
Bad boy. Nobody ever accused him of being the brightest light bulb on the Christmas tree. All right, we come back. We're going to talk to a very bright bulb on the tree, Captain Ryan Lambert. He's like, what's that Where's So-and-So thing that they talk about? There's a little guy you're looking for. Where is he on?
Waldo.
Oh, thank you, Andrew. Waldo. Yeah, where's Ryan? Where's Captain Ryan, the plastic man? He's right here, and he's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, Sheree, here's a pop quiz question for you. Why is Ryan Lambert called the plastic man?
I'm going to guess because he likes to use artificial bait.
You would be correct this morning. And of course, now we might change his name to Waldo because we never know where he is. Where is Waldo? Where is Ryan? He could be in Canada. He could be in Mexico, Argentina. Or he could just be around Luling or maybe even around Burris. Let's find out where he is today. Captain Ryan, where are you?
I'm in Burris today.
Good place for you. What you doing there?
Fishing. I had live shrimp on my boat yesterday.
Oh, my God. That's a historic event. Did they write it down on a calendar down there?
I never opened my live well.
Uh-huh. And you just had him there as backup for confidence.
They had a competition. They said, well, we got to have live shrimp. How are we going to compete? I'll put him in there for you. We never opened the live well.
That's great. Where did you fish and what did y'all catch?
We went east side. Everybody did real good yesterday. Most of them had their limited reds. A few of them had limited trout, white trout, bass, catfish. Anything, bull drum, it don't matter. I mean, it's just on.
What a great time of the year to be fishing down there, huh?
Oh, gosh. It's just phenomenal. Wasn't supposed to blow today. Now they say it's going to blow. Right now it's not blowing too bad. Everybody's getting ready to go out. So, I picked up a little cold when I got home, but I think I'm going to go and check some spots for fly fishing today. I got some fly fishing coming up. I want to get some spots close.
Yeah, well, you need to do some observations for some of those feathered friends that come down here. I only got one call or report this morning that the front brought some birds in. That was from Captain Robin. Said he saw pintails, teal, and a few widgeon down in Venice.
I'm covered up. Yeah,
and another front or two will be here before it opens, probably. So that's going to be great if they say.
The boys are coming down today, and everybody's going to get out in the marsh and build blinds and put up signs and all that good stuff. But there's plenty of birds, plenty of teal, plenty of pintails, gadwalls. So, yeah, it all comes on time. You know, it all works out. So hopefully we have a good season. We didn't get beat up by a hurricane, so lots of food. Man, I can't wait. This could be a good season.
Yeah, it's cast and blast time. You know, I had a listener texted me a question for you. It was after we got off the air with you. He wanted to know how you what you had to do or go through to transport the birds from Canada that you were bringing in. I don't know that you bring some back, but if you were, what do you have to
do? You have to leave a wing on and put your license and every species written on your ice chest on top, and then you can bring them back.
So it's the same thing as if you give your birds to someone else when you're transporting them. That's the same regulation.
Transport them here too. Same thing, you know.
If you do it here,
from one state to another, something like that, you have to leave a wing on or a head so they can identify it. So I don't know why you need to have a giant Canada goose wing to identify it. Just leave the head on, for God's sakes. But
you know, sometimes you know. you might be carrying someone else's birds, or you give them to someone. You have to have your name, the date you shot them, and by species and identification tagged on them in order to be legal. So it's kind of the same thing. Did you bring any of those birds back from Canada?
No, I didn't. And they killed me because they told me I couldn't. And when I got there, they said I could. Yeah. You know, the guys I was going with said, because I wanted to bring a couple of those greater Canadas home. Oh, my gosh, that's a big bird.
Yeah, that feeds a lot of people.
I'm going to cook ducks today. I'm going to render them in that bear fat again. That makes it so good. Golly. You know, I saw somebody else do that. Oh, your boy that builds the duck calls, Paul. What's his name? The one that builds the cane duck calls?
Fitzpatrick?
No. The guy that's on Facebook a lot that's got the big Cajun accent. He builds the.
Oh, he's up in Avall's Parish.
Yeah.
Can't think of his name right now.
But somebody sent him some bear fat, and he did the same thing. I said, look at my boy, huh?
Where do you get bear fat? What aisle on the counter at Rouse's is bear fat?
No, they don't have bear fat, but I that's what I render my ducks in. When I'm browning them, I brown them in that bear fat. Boy, they come out so nice.
Yeah.
It's something to talk about, you know?
Yeah, well, if you can get it, you know, if you can, maybe you create a new product, you know, bear fat.
Well, the bear's not going to like it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, look, y'all hold the fort down there, and I'm glad everything's going good. East side the river, and the river's low, and ducks are coming in. Man, life is good in Burris at Cajun Fishing.
Are you going Thursday to the Menhaden thing?
I will be catching it by Zoom.
Okay.
I will be listening to everyone that's going to step up to the microphone. I didn't think they needed me there. There's going to be a packed house, I'm sure, to oppose.
Yeah, I wanted to be there. You know, they talk about sending surveys and doing majority rule stuff. Well, I think the majority says they don't need all that mess. Yeah. And it's making a big difference. It really does. You know, it's people need to speak up. It's time. It's time to take our water back.
Well, you know, I mean, it's the whole thing that's the worst thing about it is they reached an agreement, they reached a deal, and now they want to go back on it, you know, and it's just, yes. I think people have just had enough. We've given as much as, more than any other state has, and they still want more. They're not happy with it. So we'll see what happens.
They got politics involved. You can bet on that. So. Yep.
All right, somebody wants to call you and chat with you and talk to you and...
They better bring me a feeler. They want to talk.
Yeah, you sound like you need something. They'll get you some NyQuil sent down there to Burris. Tell them the phone number down there.
It's 504-559-5111.
All right, Waldo. I mean, Ryan, we'll see you next week, buddy.
All right, brother. We'll see y'all. Bye-bye.
Boy, he sounds bad, huh? But you know what? Ain't going to stop him. He's going to be out there and all that stuff.
Absolutely. I know one thing. You made me hungry this morning talking about cooking, rendering ducks and bear fat.
That's not bad stuff. All right, we come back. We're going to wrap it up with your text messages to 504-260-1870 on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, Sherry, we got to remember to move the clocks back tonight because this time tomorrow it will be nice and bright out there, be daylight instead of kind of darkness still we're hearing.
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll have a more sunny morning earlier.
All right, let's get to some of these texts. A lot of them coming in here.
Yeah, so what stings about the pogie boats is that over the decades we've had gillnet netting taken away, commercial fishing for fish taken away, Creel limits put into place and then changed to what we see now, all in the name of conservation.
Yeah, that's true.
Then we have, Mr. Don, you have working dogs. I got sucked into the Westminster Agility Championships. Incredible. Is there similar competition for hunting dogs? The answer is yes.
My dogs like Smokey or meat dogs, but you guys get into...
Yes, we have two master hunters, a senior hunter and a junior hunter. And so what I would suggest is... Google AKC event calendar, and you can take a look at the field trials, hunt test, whatever breed of dog you have, you can find something to do with your dog.
All right, let me get to this one that came in that wanted to know, what is the secret to you getting a wonderful husband? Do you have an answer?
We can't say who sent that in, but yeah, apparently it's not that big of a secret. Blake is absolutely a wonderful husband, puts up with me and all our dogs.
And it's mutual agreement, too. All right, what's this one from Homa here?
From Homa, 83 years old, will call state rep and senator Monday on pogie boat issue. Sounds like Louisiana politics at its finest. Still say won't hear a peep from our vocalizing governor.
I'm glad to hear he does that, and I think he will contact his representatives. And you really need to do that. Just talking about it and complaining and bitching doesn't get anything done if you don't take any action.
Absolutely. We talk about the big companies paying their campaign funds. Well, guess what? It's each individual's vote that gets them into office. Hey, Don, I may have missed it, but would you wish Captain Raccoon Feet a happy birthday? Yesterday was his big day from David Hubble.
Raccoon Feet happens to be Eric Mahabarak, one of our paddling report reporters. And happy birthday to you, Raccoon Feet. They also call him, I call him Captain Quint lookalike. He looks just like you.
Mr. John Terrabone with Convent Hunting Club. We've been getting all our kids in the box stands this past week, trying to get each of them their first deer. My seven-year-old made three hunts this week, and he got to help blood trail a deer and recover it. It's been a fun start to the hunting season this year. Our pack of beagles are running on all cylinders, and we had quite a few successful hunts. Shot 10 rabbits on opening weekend, even with the hot weather. It's all about finding trails and roads to hunt so you can actually get a good shot on the rabbit. Anyways, good luck to everyone in the great outdoors this morning.
I hadn't heard from John Terrabone with Convent Hunting Club lately. Glad to hear from him. And boy, that's great for the kids to get out there and see that blood tracking with dogs. That's better than trick-or-treating. I mean, that's great. It's a wonderful experience for kids to get involved in.
Yeah, and there's a hunt test in the AKC for
really?
Scent tracking. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, well, like you said, anything you want to do, it's there. All right, we got someone wanted to know how to listen to the replays of the show. They couldn't find it. I sent them the link. So if you want that link, let me know if you want to know how to get the replays. And let me tell you, our guy Andrew Pearson does a great job. They're up almost before we get off the air. All right, here's one from Lafitte LT. What's he got going on?
Good morning, Mr. Don, and great to hear Sheree again. Captain Lambert must be just like my wife. I call her my Wonder Woman. I always wonder, where's my woman?
Okay.
Good morning, Don. It's Deb. It's cold in Florida this morning. I got up to 58. Since I moved here, I've become a Florida woman. And yes, it's cold 58. You win for question of the day. Which aisle has the bear fat at Rouse's? Have a great day.
All right, and a happy birthday to
Mrs. Worm's birthday today.
Got a birthday. All right, well, if you got some more, we got about all of them caught up. 504-260-1870 is our text line. Well, what you got planned for the rest of your stay here in Louisiana before you head back up to Kansas?
Well, since I was here all week, I've gotten through eating all of my favorite Louisiana cuisine.
Okay.
Probably more than once. So enjoyed our work stay in New Orleans. And again, great, fabulous food. All the daughters, number 1, 2, and 3, and niece number 1 will be in. So not lots of family time while we're here.
Very good. And then you headed back up to Kansas and get ready for the hunting season up there, huh?
Oh, yeah. They're already working on getting ready. Our weather has made the shift as about last week. It'll be interesting to see what kind of ducks and geese we have out there at the Webster Reservoir, which we're not far from. Usually that's a good indicator of what our populations look like there. So great rainy season for us. Pheasant and quail, you've seen from the pictures, running around like pigeons in Central Park out there.
Well, we also got, look forward to, got to find some fishing going on up there. And we're going to scout around, maybe find some ducks in some of those little potholes up there. Great time of the year. The holidays are coming up, and your fan club will get to hear you again during the Christmas week. We'll be doing up there doing the show. And
absolutely.
From great metropolis of Palco, Kansas. Population, how many?
205, now that Blake and I live there.
205 and growing. All right. Thanks for doing the show with us. We always appreciate having you here. We'll look forward to our show coming up and look forward to coming back again next week. Don't forget, set those clocks back. The easy way to remember it is spring forward, fall back, and it's going to be lighter earlier in the day, and it'll get dark earlier in the day, too. So, all right. Been a pleasure. Thanks for listening. As always, we appreciate you being a loyal listener. We'll be back again next week. Do the same thing all over again. Thanks to Mr. Andrew Pearson, our producer back at the mothership, getting all the right buttons pushed at the right times, lining up all our guests, all of our sound effects, our music. If it sounds good, blame him. Mr. Andrew Pearson. All right, we'll see you next week. Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.